Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, April 3rd. Villanova, pretty good team as they took down the Wolverines on Monday night, but this is your boy Matt Shook, an Associated Press writer out in Chicago covering the NBA, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, getting ready to see the team up close and personal here in Chicago as the season will close a week from tomorrow on Wednesday, April 11th, but I've also been a sports reporter for various newspapers over a decade across the country as well. But today we're going to be looking ahead to an important night tonight in the NBA action for the Pistons' fading playoff hopes, and also I'm going to be sharing with you an interview that I did with Adam Rubin and Mike Dene of the Detroit Pistons organization. They are running the show for the Pistons GT team, the Detroit team that will be representing the area in the NBA 2K League, which debuts this summer. It's going to feature gamers playing together, representing the D in that NBA 2K video game, and taking on 16 other NBA teams as well. Those guys are going to be drafting the team and their players on Wednesday, and we'll have all the details about Detroit's newest pro sports team, and it's serious business. It's a real deal, and I'm actually excited about this league coming up. We got some content to talk about this summer, which I'm happy about as well. And so give this interview a try. Listen to these guys, and I have a feeling you might be getting excited a little bit about a new thing with that's been all over the place outside of my world, but as it enters into the NBA world and hopefully your world as well, maybe we can see if we can get some enjoyment and hold us over as the NBA offseason rolls on, and kind of do some simulations and see how those guys represent Detroit against some of the other teams out there as well. But a congrats to John Beilein and the Michigan Wolverines, whose great season came to a screeching halt with a 79-62 dispatch from the Villanova Wildcats in the championship game of the NCAA tournament on Monday night in San Antonio. The best team in college basketball, no doubt about it, the Villanova Wildcats. Jalen Brunson and those guys really put on a show. Mikhail Bridges, who's a guy that NBA teams are going to have to be dealing with in the near future as a possible stretch 3-and-D kind of guy, who really impressive player and someone to watch out for as far as potential-wise in the NBA as well. But Monday night, no NBA games. I think that might be because of the national championship, just kind of a respect factor between the basketball organizations. They're always good to see the sports support each other like that, and was good times to clear out the schedule. Too bad the game and was a little bit of a snoozer, and Michigan didn't really show up for that one, but outmanned obviously from the start by a much better Villanova team, who looks to have, you know, everything you'd want out of a college team with a little bit of experience. You get the experienced point guard, which obviously always helps come March and April, as it turns out, and some athletes on the wing, some size inside, and a fantastic proven coach in Jay Wright as well. So moving on to the Pistons, 37-40 right now, 5 games to go. Can go 4-1 to finish 500, possibly continuing that schedule on Wednesday at home against the Philadelphia 76ers, and then hosting the Dallas Mavericks on Friday. So 5 games to go and 2 home games coming up this week as well. And then one more home game next week against the Toronto Raptors. So Memphis on the road, Toronto at home early next week, and then the Bulls, as I mentioned, April 11th, the week from Wednesday, to close out the season. Unless something amazing happens and the Pistons can get in the playoffs, and if you are holding on to that hope, which, hey, why not? Hold on to a little bit of hope there. Tonight could close the door on the Pistons possibly, you know, catching the Miami Heat, as the Heat play host to Atlanta tonight at home. If they win, they clinch a playoff berth, and they are 11.5-point favorites against the Hawks in South Beach. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks tonight play host to the hobbled Boston Celtics, with a chance to push Detroit to the brink of the abyss of the offseason golf course, as Milwaukee has the magic number of 2 to push the Pistons outside of the playoffs in regards to the competition between those two teams. So 5 games left for the Pistons, 5 games left for the Bucks. Any combination of 2 victories for the Bucks and or losses for the Pistons would put the Bucks into the playoffs ahead of the Pistons. So just those 3 chances left is in terms of a 1-game magic number with the Heat and a 2-game magic number with the Milwaukee Bucks. But A little bit of controversy about the Heat, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic. Hassan Whiteside was angry on Saturday night about not playing down the stretch in a game that the team lost against the Brooklyn Nets. He said a lot of teams could use a center, calling himself one of the best centers in the league. Well, Hassan, maybe no other teams want centers right now, and that's maybe the lesson that we've been learning here as the new NBA unfolds in front of us. But maybe some of those guys out there, including Hassan and maybe some others that we know, are learning that a little bit slower than some of the other people in the basketball world out there. But like I said, some playoff scenarios to keep an eye on tonight if you are a Pistons fan. And then other news to pass along, Jaren Jackson Jr. of Michigan State, he's going pro. He announced that on Monday, should be a top 10 pick, possibly even higher. And we're going to try to get a special guest for Wednesday's podcast to talk about him. No promises there, but we're going to do our best to make that happen. But today we're going to be talking esports with Adam Rubin and Mike Danae of the Pistons GT team of the NBA 2K League. They're going to tell you all about that here. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then reach out to me and sponsor Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. We're still going to have content all off season, and maybe we can get you a discounted rate for that as well. And we'll have reasonable rates going into next season as well. So secure your spot and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, we are now being joined by Adam Rupin and Mike Danae. Adam's the manager of the Pistons GT, the new esports wing of the Detroit Pistons franchise, and Mike works with the team as well. Guys, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so we got the draft coming up Wednesday at 1 o'clock at MSG in New York City. The NBA 2K League coming up. You guys are going to be selecting, I believe it's 5 or 6 of the players that are going to be on the Pistons GT team. I'm assuming some of the listeners that we have here at Locked On Pistons know everything about this league, and some of the listeners probably know absolutely nothing about this league. Can you give us maybe the quick rundown about the NBA 2K League that's beginning this year?
So back in February of 2017, Adam Silver and the CEO of Visual Concepts, which is the owning developer of 2K Sports, which creates the video game NBA 2K, partnered up to create the NBA 2K League, which is the first official esports league founded by any of the big four pro sports leagues in North America. It is also the first league to be franchised and ran by an organization other than the video game developer itself. With the Overwatch League, it's being run by Activision, and with League of Legends franchising in the LCS, it's being run by Riot, both of the game developers. The NBA is taking complete ownership and is officially running the league in partnership with Take-Two. The NBA had 17 teams jump on for the inaugural season, ourselves being part of it, and really from the get-go was started developing the league from individual branding that reflected not only the local teams, but also the states and the regions where they're from. Our branding is really dedicated to the heart of Detroit with kind of an automotive feel because of the Motor City and our return to downtown Detroit with the Detroit Pistons team. Other teams went in with more regional feels. All teams kind of launched their branding back in the second week of December, which then rolled right into the player qualifying stage, where players had to win a minimum of 50 games in the month of January. 72,000 players qualified. For reference, 1.6 million people play NBA 2K daily. So we cut 1.6 million people down to 72,000 of the best players in the world almost instantly in the month of January. The month of February saw those 72,000 players competing in a specialized game mode over 12 different days to cut that list down to 250. From there, the NBA and a consulting firm called Genji Esports did video interviews with all 250 prospects and rated them from 1 to 1,000 in multiple different categories to then come up with the 102 best players spread out amongst the 5 categories. Each team on Wednesday will be drafting 6 players. The first 5 rounds will consist of teams drafting 1 player from each position, with the 6th round kind of being their bonus player. They can draft a second player from any one of the 5 positions, so long as each team in the first 5 rounds drafts a center, a point guard, a shooting guard, a small forward, and a power forward with their first 5 picks.
Now, and for those not familiar, so that there will be five players on each team as just like a regular basketball game working together as one of the players on the court in the game in an NBA 2K video game, basically.
Yep. So I think the best analogy is consider it kind of like your rec league where you and six of your buddies get together and you form a team. Obviously, only five of you can play at one time, but you have substitutes, whether someone gets injured or can't make it. The same concept here. There will be five of our six players will be playing the game at one time against five players from one of the other 16 teams. Our sixth player comes into effect in terms of strategy. If we draft an extra guard and we want to play small ball, or we draft an extra big and we want to play big because we recognize the team may not be as powerful on the boards as us. It also comes in effect, let's say someone gets sick, or because they're very dependent on their hands, they strain a hand, they break a finger, that's detrimental to a gamer. So that's where that sixth player kind of comes in. And then obviously the disciplinary section, let's say one of our players has an issue gaming and gets fined by the league, gets fined by us, that sixth player steps in and resumes the role. So we're not playing a man down, if you will.
It'll be interesting to see if they follow the Pistons method and maybe go two bigs inside like Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond with the NBA team. But so what are you guys looking for in terms of analyzing the combine and the January games that the players were playing? Are you looking for basically the most talented guys? Are you looking at numbers of wins and losses, or how maybe different players could fit together? Is that kind of a learning process for you guys as you try to figure out the pre-draft strategy?
Yep. Yeah. I think the easiest way to say it, all 102 players that made it in are phenomenal at the game. I would put them up against any of our average fans in NBA 2K, and it would be similar to Brian Scalabrine feature in Boston several years back where he played average Joes and he destroyed all of them. All 102 players are great, and then it's just a matter of, okay, what differentiates them? The NBA gave us 32 different categories of advanced stats, from effective field goal percentage to their block percentage, their steal percentage, and breaking down all the assets. So it's really diving in and finding out, okay, who are the best players, and then seeing if they complete the eye test, watching them play, making sure the stats line up and they're not kind of padding their stats. And then from there, it's learning about the personalities, learning about their hobbies outside of the game. These six players are going to be living with each other for 6 months, traveling on a weekly basis, coming into the office on a weekly basis. So we need to make sure it essentially turns into a family unit. And then from there comes into kind of the team strategy. What kind of team do we want? Do we want it to be an offensive team? Do we want it to be a defensive team? Within the combine, you've got centers who are scoring 40 points a game, shooting guards and point guards scoring 30 points a game. Realistically, you can't have three players on a team trying to score 40 points a game. It's not going to work. So with our first pick, if we choose a very heavily dominant scoring big man, we need to make sure we surround them with maybe a point guard who's got high assists, a power forward who can clean up the glass, a small forward who can kind of slash and hit the mid-range jumper, with a three guard who can stretch the floor to allow him to dominate in the paint. So it's finding personalities that'll match, but also finding game styles that'll match, so you don't have three dominant scorers trying to shoot the ball every time they touch it, because that's just going to create some conflict with the personalities.
They had the lottery recently with the Pistons GT team picking up the fifth pick, and they're going to do a snake draft on Wednesday from there, like you do in all your fantasy leagues, getting the fifth to last pick in the second round and so on and so on. Now, these guys that are coming in, or I shouldn't say guys, players that are coming in are going to be taken care of. Adam Silver did a good job of investing into the league, a nice little contract, housing, and a little retirement plan as well. What's some of the things that these guys will be, or these players will be introduced to when they come to Detroit?
Each team is required to essentially provide housing. On top of players receiving salary, they'll also receive benefits. They will be fully covered on travel to and from the central studio. They'll get essentially the same perks an NBA player would, where teams with all of our sponsors will be outfitting the players. On our end, we're taking some ties, kind of being in the Motor City and working in some cool features with a lot of our partners to make it so that the players are getting a better experience here than maybe they will in some other locations. We feel that we're in a very unique situation, especially with kind of the rebirth of Detroit, where there's a lot of cool activations we can do downtown, especially Detroit in the summer is honestly one of the best places in the country to be.
So what about the facilities that the guys will be using and in the offices, and also how can fans follow along? Is it going to be on Twitch, or how are fans going to be able to watch games and follow how the season goes?
So I'll start with the first one. We had originally, back when we were only expecting to have five players, we were looking at kind of a solo residence where it could be all inclusive and kind of blow it out of the water. Five bedrooms, 5.5 bath, massive house with practice facility in the basement, kind of keep it all enclosed. With the addition of a sixth player, we recognized very quickly that finding a six-bedroom house that's got enough space for everything really isn't realistic. So then we kind of changed it up. We took the practice center out of the residence, which we've now found out is probably for the best. It gives a very good work-life balance, which on the NBA side is very important to our ownership and our executive team, that employees have that key balance. So we felt it was kind of perfect fit for the GT side as well. The practice center will be held at the Palace of Auburn Hills, where our offices currently are. The players will commute here 4 to 5 days a week. We're on a six-day work schedule, similar to the NBA team, where we'll work 6 days a week, of which one of those days will be traveled to the studio, one of those days will be a game day. The players will then obviously have one day off a week, which will be on a rotating schedule, same system as the NBA, where it'll rotate week to week so that they're not expecting a day off. It'll be a bonus, and this way they can't get complacent in the days before and after. But they'll come to the palace, and we have a fully operational practice set up here. We turned one of our old office spaces into a state-of-the-art practice room. Our creative team went insane. We'll be revealing that in the coming days as we lead up to the draft, but the practice room far exceeds anything I could expect. And then on the home front, because they're no longer going to have the practice center in the house, we're going to be providing players with computers and gaming setups so that they can stream from home, they can game from home, they can relax, so that essentially when they're moving into market, all they need to bring is their clothes and a toothbrush. We don't want them having to worry about, well, do I need to bring my computer? Do I need to bring my PS4 or my Xbox? Like, what do I need to bring? We wanted it to be very turnkey for the players, where they're literally toothbrush in their clothes in market, and here is everything you're going to want and need to both relax at home, but also play at the best level possible. As far as following the team, right now, the best way to do it is to follow us on Twitter at PistonsGT, follow on Instagram at PistonsGT, and the website is just www.pistonsgt.com. As far as where you can watch games, the NBA 2K League will be making that announcement sometime in the next 2 weeks. Until then, we really can't comment on what platform it's going to be, whether it's going to be traditional media or digital media, but the NBA will be making that announcement very, very quickly.
All right, we'll be passing that along on Locked On Pistons when that news breaks. Is the idea that some of the players, or is this something that maybe they'll explore as time goes on, that some of the players will hopefully come back each year and play on the Pistons GT, kind of franchise type players, or is that, are they going to be redrafted every year? How's that continuity work?
Yeah, we've been kicking that idea around with the teams a lot, just all curious. The NBA 2K League has yet to comment on exactly what's going to happen, but in the first year, there are 17 teams. There is already interest, I imagine, from many of the other teams, so I wouldn't be shocked if we expand into more teams next year into more markets, which of course means that even if there is franchise player, there's probably going to be an expansion draft of sorts, which then really throws a kink in or a wrench into how do you keep players and how do you draft players. We do know that there's going to be a combine and another draft next year, both to expand current rosters if we're allowed to keep players, but also to build up any new teams that come in. So it's really going to be interesting to see how the NBA and 2K kind of handle new teams coming in, while also making sure current teams can stay competitive and build upon kind of the franchise they've already started, while making sure the new teams aren't at a disadvantage on the competitive level. Because if all 17 teams are able to keep half of their roster going into year two, any new team that joins is really at a severe disadvantage. Because while next year we've got a really good crop of 17-year-olds who are going to be 18, graduated high school, able to enter the draft, it's really, I mean, you're going to be eliminating close to 30 players who have already played a year on the system. So it's going to be cool to see how the NBA kind of translates into franchising players, as well as handling an expansion draft, and then continuing to grow further talent as kids graduate high school and become eligible for the 2K League.
And obviously, I'm assuming that many, if not all, of the available athletes and the available players in the draft are, you know, young men. I would say, like you said, 18 being the youngest one. Are there any anomalies? Are there any older folks playing? Are there any women that are going to be in this possible draft class coming up?
Realistically, it's nearly impossible on our level to really know the age of a lot of the players. Within the top 250, we had identified there were at least three women. And the only reason we know that is we did, as players were being announced, we checked social profiles because a lot of the players announced themselves on Twitter. And we had noticed that, okay, there's three females in the group. We don't know the exact number because the NBA 2K League would not release it to us. Same thing with the 102. We're not sure of total ages, but I think it's safe to say that the gamers are a lot older than some people might expect. I have talked to close to 60 of them at this point. The gamers are all more mature than even I may have expected. Sure, there's going to be 18, 19, 20-year-olds, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we have some guys pushing 30 or above 30.
Now, for those who are listening who, and again, we got Adam Rubin and Mike Dene of the Pistons GT squad. They're going to be doing the draft on Wednesday afternoon at New York City at Madison Square Garden of the esports team, the inaugural season coming up here. For those who are listening who don't understand maybe how big this is worldwide as far as esports, I mean, the Olympics are getting involved. Like you said, the companies have their own. Is there like a number as far as you mentioned 2K having 1.6 million players. I mean, is there, as far as esports in general, just this, give us an idea of the scope of how big this is worldwide right now.
On the NBA 2K side, that's the easiest place to start. NBA 2K will end up selling above 10 million copies of the game this year, which sounds like a lot until you dive in and recognize that in China alone, with a partnership with Tencent, there are 35 million active online users within the online version of 2K that's available exclusively in China. So realistically, there's close to 50 million people playing 2K worldwide. And then you add in the NBA fan base, and it grows into close to a billion, if not over a billion. On the other side, you've got 35 million active users of Overwatch, which is the key game of the Overwatch League. It's Blizzard's new kind of franchise, if you will, under the Activision umbrella. And then you've got League of Legends, which is the single largest esport and game in the world right now. They regularly bring in 200,000, 300,000 viewers anytime they stream a game. They had their semifinal matches last night, and they had 200,000 people watching one stream for 7 hours. The industry of competitive gaming is only growing as more and more pro sports organizations and regular sports fans get interested, especially as pro sports fans get older and they have kids, and kids nowadays are growing up with video games and they're now watching video games. And then the parents who want to connect with the kids are watching video games with the kids and recognizing that, man, the games I played as a kid, like Counter-Strike, is now one of the most popular competitive games on the planet. So there's only growth coming from here. And I think with the 2K League, it's in a unique position. The Overwatch League had a rumored $20 million buy-in. That kind of set the scale for the amount of money that's being invested in the space. But then you bring in the NBA 2K League and the partnership that the NBA has with Take-Two and Visual Concepts. And that really raised the bar where you've got the NBA bringing a billion fans worldwide into competitive gaming and leveraging billion-dollar franchises in the NBA teams. And that, it really kind of raised the bar even more so, all within a span of 4 months.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of count myself among one of those folks who probably wouldn't have gotten involved and wouldn't have known much about it until I knew, oh, there's a Detroit team that I can root for. And just like all Detroit sports fans out there, we're always finding ways to follow our teams. But how about you guys? Are you gamers coming up, or did you have a steep learning curve getting involved? What was kind of your background of getting involved with the Pistons GT?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, I'm the vice president of digital marketing at the Pistons. So naturally, you know, when this opportunity came up, you know, we kind of jumped at it. I mean, we looked at, you know, all the industry reports and, you know, to your previous question, and, you know, how large is esports? I mean, it's a $1 billion industry, you know, and when Take-Two Interactive and the NBA decided to create this joint venture, we looked at it strategically, and we saw the overlap of NBA 2K fans and NBA fans, and we saw that as a huge opportunity, you know, to obviously get involved with it. So During my college years, never in my wildest dreams did I think that, video games would be played professionally at this level. I was a Counter-Strike landline guy up at Michigan State. We'd have, huge parties in the dorms, just competing against one another. And now you look at the scale where they're filling arenas and having championship tournaments and million-dollar prize pools. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth. And, Adam has been, boots on the ground, very involved with Michigan esports. So I let him speak to his experience as well.
Yeah, I left college early 4.5 years ago to take a job with the Pistons as a content producer. Very quickly rose to a full-time producer editor. Spent the last 2 years traveling with the team on the road, covering all home games and away games for our website and our in-arena. And then during the 2 or 3 months off-season during the summer, after Summer League wrapped up, working with Michigan Esports, which is a local esports LAN provider based out of Southfield, where I produced and directed their Michigan Esports $25,000 Call of Duty tournament, actually at the Rensen downtown. 100 teams from around the country and around the world flew in to compete for $25,000 in prize pool. That was kind of my first foray into a live esports event, but I've been working television production since I was 15 for the NBA and Major League Lacrosse and World Combat League with Chuck Norris and K1 and Bellator. Then Jonas Drebko, one of our former players, decided that he was going to buy an esports team. He bought the LA Renegades from Monte Cristo, who's an Overwatch League commentator now, and moved him to Detroit. Took the entire franchise, moved the entire thing to the city of Detroit, and then reached out to all of his local contacts and said, hey, who do I know in the area that I still like? Because Jonas still lives in Metro Detroit in the offseason. He still has a home here. He still loves the city, even though he plays for the Jazz now. He reached out to me because I've done some video content on him and his dog and his family while he played for us and said, hey, until I can find a staff to kind of build this up with, would you mind running our content and marketing strategy? So for 4 months until he could fill in the staff, I ran their video content, their social pages, worked with their graphic design team, and then worked with ownership to really come up with a marketing plan to get them off the ground. They have since filled in and they've been hitting the ground running. They had an amazing Overwatch team. They've got one of the best Counter-Strike teams in the world. They had two of the top Super Smash Brothers players in the world. Their Call of Duty team just barely missed the Pro League cutoff this year. So as an organization, they're growing and doing bigger and better things every single year, which has been great for me because it also put me in contact with a bunch of the local esports teams and esports providers. You've got chair manufacturers, controllers, headsets, all made in Michigan. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't recognize is Michigan has a hotbed of gamers. The Michigan, Indiana, Ohio region is one of the largest concentration of NBA 2K players, Call of Duty players, and Halo players in the entire country. So when the NBA kind of said, okay, we're going to jump into esports and allow each team to have a franchise, I jumped at it because it combined my love of basketball, having played my entire life and having gotten offers to play at a college level, and video games where I've been a gamer since I got my cousin's Nintendo Entertainment System at 10. And when the two of them kind of collided, it was, okay, how can I be a part of it? And initially, I just wanted to help. And then working with Mike for the last year, him and I have been running it ourselves for the last 6 months.
And we heard recently that Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond are big into Fortnite. There's some media reports about that. Are those guys kind of peeking into the room every now and then, seeing what you guys are up to and asking about the Pistons GT? Are there other players that are kind of involved or interested in what you guys are going to be doing this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a natural fit, obviously, with the NBA athletes. I think, with the Take, with Take-Two Interactive and the NBA's joint venture, we have to be a little bit sensitive to the collective bargaining agreement. So we can't do as many, in-market promotions with our NBA athletes, but I mean, I think you can look at our branding and you see the inspiration from the Detroit Pistons, in our brand. And that's kind of what we're going to embody as an organization. So, yes, I mean, our guys are interested. They're asking a ton of questions. We want to get them as involved as possible. But what you won't be seeing, in the first season at least, is, Andre Drummond going head-to-head against a Pistons GT member. Unfortunately, that will happen behind the scenes, but we won't be able to stream that, to the public.
I'm waiting for the first Deion Sanders guy to go from the NBA during the season and then the offseason be in the esports league. And that's probably not too far down the road, I would imagine.
I mean, the news coming out today is that Shaq has signed on to be the Kingsguard general manager. So he's minority owner in Energy, which is the esports team that the Kings owner is majority owner of. He's the minority owner there, and he just signed on with Kingsguard to be their general manager and assist in draft strategy and player analysis, bringing his NBA expertise into the virtual NBA at this point.
And like you mentioned, not all the NBA teams quite yet are on board, the Lakers and Bulls and Chicago and LA being two of them that jump out. So maybe there will be more chances for, you know, because Shaq going up to Sacramento seems a little counterintuitive to his whole career, really. But but maybe as the teams open up, that even more of those partnerships will open. But guys, I have had a great week just kind of reading articles and learning about this. I'm excited for the Pistons GT season. And obviously, we're looking for content over the summer here at Locked On Pistons. So we'll be talking to you guys more as the season goes on. Adam Rubin and Mike Dene. And Wednesday's the draft, 1 o'clock in New York. Good luck to you guys. And I'll be interested to see about the players and when they arrive in Detroit.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate the time, Matt.
Well, I think this is very cool, actually. Adam Rubin and Mike Dene, thanks to those guys for joining us here on Locked On Pistons of the Pistons GT esports organization. They got the draft coming up. I'm excited to see how this goes. And I would tell you, I think I'm honest with you guys enough that I would tell you if I think this is lame and this is stupid. I actually think this is very cool. It might be a little bit of an inroad for guys like me who are into sports but not necessarily into video games anymore to follow it and get into the world of esports, because it's a big thing out there, as the guys mentioned, in China. And I know you know someone in your life, if you're not a gamer, that certainly spends a lot of time doing this. And it's a big money-making thing for these guys. Are going to be making in the five figures just for doing 6 months of work with the Pistons. I saw one of the reports said that anywhere from $32,000 to $35,000 just for the summer of work there. And I'm interested to see what these guys are like personality wise and if the Pistons GT team can have some success. But give us a follow on my Twitter account at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Give us a follow on the Lockdown Pistons Twitter account too, and like us on Facebook at Lockdown Pistons-MattSchoch, and give the Pistons GT guys on Twitter and Instagram at Pistons GT a follow as well. And we'll be passing along updates on how their season goes throughout this year and the draft as well here on Locked On Pistons. But I want to say thanks again to Adam and Mike for joining us, and thanks to you guys for listening. So have a good one. We'll talk to you guys soon.